listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, Glenn Davis speaking here as the host of Soccer Matters. I'm speaking on behalf of my favorite political party. It's the Bud Light Party. People say the country's divided. We disagree on everything, but that's not true. We agree on a lot, like puppy videos. Everybody likes puppy videos, three-day weekends, free parking, queso, margaritas, Messi, and Cristiano. You know what else everybody loves? Beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light, so raise one right now. Join the Bud Light Party and myself every Tuesday night for the best in soccer talk. You know what else everybody loves? Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender, partner on Root Sports. He joins us now. How's that for a good segue, Eddie?
That's decent. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people out there that don't love me, but I appreciate the love from you, Glenn.
You know, we got it. It's just a love fest in the studio here tonight. It's a virtual love fest. All right, so let's go to the big news of the day, Eddie. I want to get your opinion on this. Number one, Ziggy Schmidt gone from the Seattle Sounders. Address that, and then do you think this might be the end of his coaching career? Do you think he'd retire?
No. I gotta agree with a lot of people on Twitter this afternoon that, I mean, I think that LAFC job is his to lose. I mean, he spent so much time at UCLA, and his pedigree, I mean, he's the winningest coach, or at least he has the most wins of any coach in MLS history. So I can't see how he would quit. I don't think that he's going to give up unless no one offers him a job, which I highly, highly doubt. Now, that Seattle job is a highly coveted one. I would not be surprised in any way, shape, or form to see some kind of big-name foreign coach end up there. But I also wouldn't be surprised if it were American. But when you've got a market like Seattle has, and you've got a big-name player like Clint Dempsey, they've, you know, the big signing today, I'm not sure how many people realize what happened today, another designated player coming in, it's Ladero. This is an opportunity for some coach to come in and really make a splash and add to his resume. I don't think Ziggy Schmidt's done. Every great coach, every great player, every great person is going to have a bad year as a player, as a person in your job, as a coach. You're going to have one. And unfortunately for Ziggy, he's at the bottom of near the bottom of the league, with the exception of our Dynamo. So, but I think he's going to land on his feet.
Interestingly enough, Eddie, he had 8 years there, never delivered. He delivered a lot, but he never delivered the MLS Cup, which, you know, you can't say that Seattle didn't give Ziggy the opportunity. And yes, he is a legendary Major League Soccer coach, legendary coach in America. The only thing, you know, left for him would be to take a U.S. national team to a World Cup. So, you know, we have all the respect for Ziggy Schmidt and what he has done. He's won titles with the L.A. Galaxy, also in Columbus in the days when Guillermo Barros-Schelotto was there. So he's taken some interesting teams. Back to Nicolas Lodero. Now, there's a player that Seattle is going to play through. That's quite the acquisition from Boca Juniors.
It's awesome. Is it a straight swap for Obafemi Martins? Is he going to provide the offensive firepower, the goals and assists? Is he going to combine with Clint Dempsey the way that Martins did? I don't know. Only time will tell. If he does, then this next coach is going to be he's going to have a lot easier job than Ziggy Schmidt had over these last 6 months. They're paying a lot of money for him, so he's got to perform.
Eddie Robinson joining us. You can catch him on the Root Sports broadcast this Sunday night. We'll be doing the Dynamo San Jose game from BBVA Compass Stadium. Dominic Kinnear coming back to Houston. San Jose outside of the playoff picture as well. They've been struggling quite a bit in the last eight or so games. The Dynamo continue to struggle. The Dynamo, Eddie, remarkably, have only had one goal in their last 16 games from the striker position. What does that say to you?
Well, I mean, after watching the game the other night against Vancouver, it says to me that they're just in a funk. Yeah, maybe a little bit of bad luck. I mean, you look at, you know, a couple of saves that Ostead made on Will Bruin, the post with the shot from Bonilla Garcia. I think it's just a little bit of bad luck, but I really, really enjoyed watching the 4-4-2 that Wade Barrett put out, the interplay between between Kubo and Will Bruin was refreshing. It's something we haven't seen in a really, really long time. I mean, you could say there was glimpses of it when Will Bruin and Giles Barnes were playing together a few years ago. But, you know, prior to, you know, the days that Brian King was here, you haven't seen something like that. The dummies, the 1-2s, the communication. It was extremely refreshing. And now you have to see, it's disappointing to see Kubo Torres. He's got to go. He's going to the Olympics. Good for him. So I really hope that Wade Barrett keeps this 4-4-2. And maybe it's Marwin Notus that plays up there. Maybe he goes back to Giles Barnes and tries to, you know, renew that partnership that they had a few years ago that was so successful. But I really like the 4-4-2, and I think Wade's on to something here. I just hope he sticks with it.
Do you think he would stick with it on the road, or he'd go back to a single striker system?
Well, I think if you go back to a single striker system, you're playing defensively when your fans are wanting you to go for it. You want to earn this job. You want to try to even get at least get close to the playoffs. Maybe you don't make the playoffs. I mean, maybe that, you know, realistically that's, you know, out of the picture. But I would really like to see Wade say, we're not going to sit back. We're not going to go on the road and try to stick back. We're going to go get a result. We're going to play a 4-4-2, and we're going to try to dominate the game as they did most of the game, at least from an attacking standpoint, against Vancouver. Yeah, Vancouver had a marginal advantage in possession, but all of the attacking play was with the Dynamo, and I think that's not just a result of being at home and having Vancouver in the heat, but I think the formation that Wade Barrett played and the tactics that they employed.
It's a complicated situation, and I think it's complicated. And next week we're going to get Chris Kennedy and Matt Jordan on the show, but the situation's complicated because, you know, you just made a player move with Eric Alexander. I think for the fans right now, it's incredibly nebulous. It's very cloudy. They don't know where the team is going. They don't know if Wade Barrett's going to be the manager. If Wade Barrett is not going to be the manager, then why would you want Wade Barrett making the choices of players that he's not ultimately going to get to coach? So it is a very confusing situation. Is this a rebuild? Are we really thinking that it is believable that this team can get into the playoffs? It hasn't been to the playoffs the last 2 years. It hasn't really had runs of winning a lot of games and gathering points. So why would we think that's going to happen this year? It is in a mighty struggle to score goals. And you can talk rub of the green and luck and all that stuff. But when it's a couple of years now in the context of the big picture, that becomes less believable to the fan. So yeah. Where do you think it is?
I don't think there's any reason for a rebuild. When you look at the talent, position by position, that the Dynamo have, individually, it's, you know, when everyone is healthy, I would put it up against any team in the league. For me, the problem has been finding the chemistry, the right players, and the right formation to get the job done. I don't think there's any reason to have a rebuild. Now, to the Eric Alexander acquisition, it makes absolutely no sense to me. No disrespect to Eric Alexander. He's an excellent player. I remember him, especially when he was with Red Bull. He's an excellent player. But where does he fit in? I think Wade Barrett's made it abundantly clear that he loves Colin Warner in the midfield. He loves Ricardo Clark. He'll move Alex or Boniac Garcia in there. I wouldn't take Eric Alexander over any of those four. Yes, he can play on the wing, but when you've got Andrew Winger, when you've got Giles Barnes, again, when you've got Boniac Garcia, when you've got Rob Lovejoy, who I hope people don't forget about Rob Lovejoy. He's unfortunately been injured, but this is a kid who I am super excited to see get healthy and maybe get some continued minutes. I just don't see where Eric Alexander fits in, so it just doesn't make any sense to me. And like you said, it's cloudy and it's confusing.
Well, and I am going to be interviewing Wade coming up at the end of the show, and we are going to ask Wade about Eric Alexander. But what I've heard is that everybody likes his ability to initiate attacks. They think his range of passing is going to be improvement out of the middle. So, and he can play wide, as you mentioned. So I think we'll see. I think what sometimes frustrates the Dynamo fan is that then they see Seattle signed in a Lodero, who, you know, is a starting playmaker for Boca Juniors, and he's obviously being brought there as the centerpiece that could in very, very big ways transform the quality of that team.
Well, Glenn, you know, I go back to what you just said, you know, about the stuff that you've heard about his ability to initiate the attack and his ranges of passing. But again, I ask, who's he going to replace? I wouldn't pick him over Ricardo Clark. I wouldn't pick him over Alex Lima. I wouldn't pick him over Boniek Garcia. I wouldn't pick him over Andrew Winger, and I wouldn't pick him over Giles Barnes. So that's why it's confusing to me.
Well, we'll see what the plans are in the future. What other takeaways from this game? Obviously, the Dynamo defending well, but, you know, like you mentioned, and like we sit here talking, when no goals are scored, and you look at some of these analytics, and, you know, I'm more a guy that loves to go off the eye and not the analytics, but, you know, when the only striker who has scored goals for you is Will Brun this year. He's got 4 goals from the striker position. 1 goal from the striker position in 16 games. You have to make some sort of determination based on that. Is the quality of the strikers good enough? I mean, that's one you have to go to. I'm not saying these aren't good, talented soccer players, but when you've only got 1 goal from that position, you're not going to get in the playoffs in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, no, I don't blame the quality of the players. I blame the structure of the team, the tactics and the formation. Will Ruin is not a lone striker. He's proven in years past with Dominic Kinnear that he needs someone up there to pair with.
Agreed, 100%.
To combine with. He needs that. Kubo Torres, you go back to his days at Chivas USA, the time that he played at Chivas in Guadalajara before he came back to Houston. He's a player that plays with a partner. Mar Menotes has really been the only player, as far as I'm concerned, that has proven he can play that lone striker role and be dangerous by himself because of his ability to create on his own. He doesn't need anybody else to combine with him. That's where Will Bruin's strength lies. That's where Eric Kubo Torres' strength lies. So that's why I was so excited to see that Wade Barrett went with a 2-striker formation with Will Bruin and with Kubo Torres, because that fits their strengths. And everyone talked about, well, what about their chemistry? They've never played together in a game. Well, for never playing together in a game, you talk about the communication, the dummies, the movement off of each other, the combination play, the 1-2s. I was extremely impressed, and I'm really bummed that we don't get to see it this Sunday against San Jose.
Yeah, Kubo Torres has only started 3 games this year, and you know, you really have to wonder a little bit, because he certainly didn't seem in favor with Owen Coyle. He did come into the season a lot fitter. $8 million was spent to acquire him. So, you know, why he's not given a run, that's interesting to me. And look, can that come down to the fact that maybe Owen Coyle didn't know how to get the best out of him as a striker? And now we know Wade Barrett is working on the attack a lot more now. Let me ask you this, Eddie. Is it part of acquiring a player that you then need to make a centerpiece of your team, and then you're going to be entrusted to get the best out of this guy?
Yeah, and this is where, again, we talk about who's making the decisions on player acquisition, player movement. And, you know, I can't imagine that Owen Coyle would have seen a lot of video of Kubo Torres and know what he brings to the table and how he plays, that he would have wanted Kubo Torres in his system because he wouldn't fit. Obviously, he didn't play him for that reason. He didn't fit in Owen Coyle's system. So you got to wonder, is this a situation where Matt Jordan is making the moves? And he's telling Owen Coyle, or maybe even Wade Barrett, this is what we're going to do. You know, I'm in charge. Is Chris Canetti involved in any of this? How much say did Owen Coyle have or Wade Barrett have? But and Wade Barrett said in an interview this week, you got to understand that Eric Torres has been away since I've been in charge. This is really the first time that he's been back. So you give away the benefit of the doubt. He's got the opportunity to change up the formation to get something going that fits Eric Torres and Will Bruin and is beneficial for both of them and the Dynamo offensively. I think it's a great move by Wade, but it's unfortunate that Eric is as highly regarded by his country as he is.
Well, he's off to the Olympics. There's no doubt about it that if he has a good Olympics, his value could skyrocket. Obviously, the Olympics is heavily scouted by all the top clubs in the world. If he produces there, his value could skyrocket. His value's got to be down right now for the Dynamo, and I would think that people are coming in with offers for him potentially at a bargain rate. And I would imagine there's offers for Will Bruin and Giles Barnes and everybody else up front. But, Eddie, as always, thank you. We'll be back behind the microphone on Sunday night with San Jose, so look forward to that. And until then, have a great night.
I appreciate you having me, Glenn.
All right, one and only Eddie Robinson. Again, San Jose Earthquakes, Houston Dynamo, Sunday night. That game is on Root Sports. Better yet, get down to BBVA Compass Stadium. Quick word here for Bayern Munich. Get down to one of the great soccer-watching spots in Houston, Bayern Munich. Say hello to my friend Raymond there. Wonderful open, airy spot. Great for football fans. You'll love it. Right in the heart of Midtown is Bar Munich on Louisiana. It's barmunich.com, 2616 Louisiana, a Soccer Matters pub. Also, the Gorgeous Gale. Want an Irish pub with that Irish feel? The Gorgeous Gale is the place for you. Head over to the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside in West University. Catch all the best soccer and football matches. Stop by for a pint and a bite. Good whiskey offerings there as well. Say hello to my friend Peter. A great open feel there as well with lots of monitors. GorgeousGale.com. And don't forget to also the Richmond Arms and the King's Head Pub. Those are great soccer watching spots as well. They got rooms you can rent out. They're going to be they're going to have all the Premier League games, Major League Soccer games, the Dynamo games. You name it. These are the best bars in town when it comes to soccer watching. Richmond Arms and the King's Head Pub. All right, we'll take a break with that. It's a Bud Light break.
You better do what you're supposed to do. They know, they know, they know.
Ludicrous rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, real quick here as we welcome you back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Zach Scott of the Seattle Sounders, and this is an extended tweet from him, but this is with all the problems that are going on in Seattle. He says, quote, am I above criticism? No. Is anyone on the roster or in the front office above criticism for this god-awful year? Not at all. In 15 seasons, I've never experienced a season like this. But no excuses. I will never make excuses. Our roster is what it is. Good enough to win, yes. But have we done that? Not at all. I'm not saying a miracle is going to happen, but we aren't quitting on each other, on our coaches, on our city. So please be as critical as you want. Yell at us as much as you want. Pull your hair out as much as you want, because we'll all do the same. Losing will never be just okay, ever. And we will fight and claw and dig ourselves out of this hole together. Much love, Seattle, and all true Sounders fans out there. All right, so these are examples of healthy pressure, and healthy pressure is needed, and Seattle definitely has that. And today the big news was Ziggy Schmidt, no longer the coach, the legendary coach, no longer the coach of Seattle. Speaking of legendary, three-time gold medalist for the U.S. Women's National Team, a defender. She's also the host of Soccer Superstar on Nickelodeon. And we've had Angela Hughley's on. We've had Marcelo Balboa on. And it's now time for the host, Heather Mitz. She's a three-time gold medalist. She joins us now. Heather, how are you?
I like that segue, Glenn. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you on the show. And, well, I mean, we don't have that here in Houston, and I hope one day we do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the healthy pressure is a motivator, and it's something I think that every organization would want, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's important to have those things.
Well, let's talk about first, I want to talk Soccer Superstar, and then I want to get into the Olympics because you're a three-time gold medalist, and I'm excited you're on the show, and then we may even dig into Golden Doodle training, okay?
I was hoping we'd go there.
And by the way, since I haven't said officially to you in person, congratulations on your newborn.
Oh, thank you. Okay? Thanks so much. That.
All right, so tell me about Soccer Superstar and why this is such a cool show to host.
Well, I mean, here we are talking about a reality show that is specifically soccer-based. And I think it's so cool because we just see how much soccer has grown here in the United States. And it was perfect timing right after the Women World Cup win to have the show start. And it's for teenage girls between the ages of, I want to say, 13 to 18 that have the ability to come and try out for the show. It's absolutely free. This year was a little bit different. We had four different locations where the girls came out. We took three girls from each location, took them out to L.A. They were all going to go out there and compete on the field. We had Karina LeBlanc and Allie Wagner on the show. And as you mentioned, you know, Angela Hughley and Marcelo Balboa are the coaches, and Dan Metcalf. So we have great coaches. And, you know, obviously none of this would have happened if it weren't for Chris Lithgow and Michael Cohen to come up with this brilliant idea. And it's just been so fun to be a part of and just to see that they have this opportunity in front of them. And this year they have a chance, the winner, the soccer superstar, gets to go and train with an NWSL team. So that's actually pretty exciting for these girls. I mean, they're able to meet, you know, their legends and these people that they look up to and have these amazing coaches, and to be on Nick Sports and to showcase their talents. And on top of that, they get to go and train and meet an NWSL team, which, I mean, for these girls, this is a dream come true.
Yeah, the name of it is a soccer. It's Soccer Superstar on Nickelodeon, and Heather Mitz is the host of the show. How do you like hosting? Because you and I have called games together. It's a totally different deal, hosting.
It is, but I love hosting. It's such a, I mean, once I, like I said, it's a great opportunity to be a part of the show, because I think it's brilliant, and I think it's so exciting for these teenage girls. But I would much rather be the host than a judge, because Angela and Marcelo and Dan have a really, really tough job. So I enjoy being able to sit back and, you know, be a part of it, but not having the tough job that they have.
Well, I know my niece is a host of a show called Project Runway Junior, and these kids are so talented. And I do know that, though, she wears it on her sleeves when some of these kids, you know, have to be eliminated from the process.
Yeah, it's tough.
She's told me it's pretty tough.
It is. I mean, you fall in love with these girls and you get to know them, so you're rooting for them. But in all honesty, I mean, we've been so lucky the past two seasons. We have a bunch of great girls, so no matter what, it's hard to see anybody go home. But they all, it's great to see how they come together, you know, behind the scenes. And that's what the reality side of it is, you know, how they're able to work together for, you know, as a team. But at the same time, they're all gearing for that one title of being the soccer superstar. So it's pretty cool to see.
Well, and I had Angela on last week. I had Marcelo on the week before. And it sounds like you guys are having a great time doing this. This is Friday nights, right? Will you just remind us when it airs, Friday night?
Yeah. This Friday is actually the final episode. There's two back-to-back. They start at 10 p.m. Eastern on Nick Sports or Nicktoons. So this is it. This is the final one. This will be the third week to wrap up the entire season. So we're excited to see who the final soccer superstar is.
All right. That's Friday night. That'll be 9 Central time here in Houston. All right. So now we have to dig into a little bit of the U.S. Women's team going to the Olympics. What struck you now just about the, you know, kind of the reshaping of this team, you know, a number of players retiring or having children or moving on, and it's allowed for opportunity for others. Do you see this as a very differing team than when you played on it, Heather?
You know, I do, just because there's a lot more youth, and that's exciting. You know, it kind of just goes to show how deep our youth program is, because in all honesty, I mean, I did not expect the team to be this good right away with all the retirement that we had after the World Cup. And it's exciting to see. You know, I'm interested to see how they're going to do on the big stage. You know, there's definitely a big difference between playing a bunch of friendlies and playing in a big event such as the Olympics. So that will be the true test. And I know that they have a couple injuries on the team right now, which is a little bit concerning. And, you know, Jill Ellis has even mentioned the fatigue, you know, how many games they've had since the last World Cup. But, you know, everybody's gunning for them, and hopefully they can stand up to success.
Yeah, Morgan Bryan got some minutes in the last game recently in Kansas City, and I guess
Tobin.
Carly Lloyd. Tobin got some minutes. Carly Lloyd went a full 90, so they walked away from Kansas City feeling pretty good about it. You know, your experience being there and then the focus on, you know, it's different than a World Cup, because World Cup is sort of localized. It's all soccer. This year, a part of all these other sports and the whole Olympic experience. Give us a little insight into what that's like.
Well, soccer is actually the only sport where we're not a part of the opening ceremonies, because we're already playing our first game before the opening ceremonies even begin. So we sit and watch it on television like everybody else, which is a huge bummer. But at the same time, you know, we're already taking place in the Olympics, so that's exciting. And we're actually not in the village. We're in other locations. You don't make it to the village unless you actually make it to the semis. So that's actually part of the motivation. But at the same time, it's nice because you're away from all the chaos and the distractions. You're able to focus on, you know, the task at hand. So I know that the girls are really, really excited. And, you know, as you mentioned, you know, Morgan Bryan getting some minutes and Tobin getting some minutes. It's great to see them coming back from their injuries, and hopefully we get to see Megan Rapinoe out there on the field at some point.
How about your thoughts on this Blossom? What a wonderful young talent she is, Mallory Pugh.
Oh, she is something else. And you know, I have flashbacks, and totally, I'm aging myself, but to Heather O'Reilly, you know, and how young she was and just how brilliant she was from the very beginning. So it's just, it's fun to see. And I've been so impressed with her every single game. She is so young, but she's so talented, and just every game, I feel like she just grows and grows as far as a player. So, I mean, right now she might be playing a bunch during the Olympics. So it'll be interesting to see how she does.
Yeah, she sure has dealt with being, you know, integrated into this team wonderfully now. I guess there's a new reality and pressure when you get to an Olympics, but something tells me it may not bother her. I don't know. I see something pretty unique in her, in that she's just really focused on playing the game and enjoying the game.
Yeah, there's something to be said about being young and naive, too. You know, you kind of don't understand the pressures. You don't succumb to those things. So I think that's the beauty of having her on the team, and the fact that she's had as many minutes as she has had so far this year. I mean, I think that will definitely help her when she steps foot over there in Rio.
Yeah, and you know what else? There's something good about being old and naive, too. It works both ways. All right, the last fun question here for you is, I know you got a great golden doodle. How's your golden doodle get along with your kids?
Oh, he's the best. Are you kidding? They're the best breed on the earth. You know that. So we could sit here and talk all day long about how amazing our golden doodles are, but he's so good with them.
He's a great. How big was yours again?
How big?
Yeah, was he, how many pounds?
Probably like 60.
Yeah, yeah. You have a big one. You have a bigger one.
Yeah.
Well, Heather,
yours,
listen.
Is a mini, right?
I got it. Yeah, mine's like 28 pounds, but it's a great dog. I mean, so easy to train. It's crazy.
Adorable. Well, I can't wait to share stories and pictures next time I see you, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
And thanks for coming on. Again, it's soccer superstar Nickelodeon. It'll be 9 o'clock Central Time here in Houston. The host is three-time gold medalist Heather Mitz. Heather, thank you for coming on the show. Hello to your husband, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Glenn. Good talking to you. Take care.
That's Bye. Heather Mitz. Great having her on the show. Now, before we jump out here, a couple of things to talk about. I'm going to give away a pair of tickets here shortly. And a quick word here, obviously, for our good friends at Amigo Energy. And Amigo Energy reminds you that it's a great time to switch. It's a great time to save money. And Amigo Energy can help you do that. All you have to do is this. You got to remind yourselves that if you want to save $50, it's Basics 24. If you're moving, call Amigo Energy. If you're up for a renewal, call them. AmigoEnergy.com/soccer matters. Basics 24, 888-995-9299. 888-995-9299. Daspit Law Firm, again, they will bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. And right now, I got a pair of tickets now. Giving them away like crazy tonight here. Pair of tickets to the Houston Dynamo San Jose Earthquakes this Sunday. Dominic Kinnear coming back in town with the San Jose Earthquakes against his former club. Dynamo San Jose. Sixth caller right now at 713-780-3776. It's too hot.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Tonight we're going to end it in big style, but before we do that, a moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-4878. 713-322-HURT. Whether your car accident is anything local here, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheel, whatever your accident is, the Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you that they're going to treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com. The Daspit Law Firm, they're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. So fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-4878. Hurt. That is the number. And right now, we bring on of the Houston Dynamo, courtesy of HoustonDynamo.com, Dynamo Manager Wade Barrett. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
No problem, Glenn. How are you?
Good, and always glad to have you on. And it's another big week for the Dynamo ahead of you guys this weekend. The San Jose Earthquakes come to town after the All-Star break and the All-Star game out on the West Coast. First off, a couple of thoughts on coaching now against your former manager, Dominic Kinnear, who you shared a lot of success with.
Yeah, I'm excited for the game this weekend, just for the game itself. It's another home game. Just over the last, over the last month and a half, we've had a lot of games on the road. So I think, 5 out of the 8 MLS games have been on the road. So get an opportunity to finally be at home for a couple games in a row. So I'm excited about that. It's a special thing for me that Dom is coming back in town. Dom, like I said, was a great mentor to me. I feel like I had the best years of my playing career under Dominic as a coach. And I always appreciate that. Dom kind of brought me into the coaching world. I appreciate that. Dom's done a lot of great things for me. And it'll just be, it'll be exciting. It'll be exciting to be on the opposite end from him this weekend and for our teams to play.
All right. Yeah, you guys added Eric Alexander, a guy that's got a number of games in Major League Soccer, a lot of experience. You acquire him from the Montreal Impact in exchange for general and targeted allocation money. Talk a little bit about the 28-year-old midfielder. What does he bring that might be a little bit unique and different to the current Dynamo midfield?
Yeah, I think Eric, I think his kind of natural position is really that kind of number 8. I think he can play in a 2 in midfield. I think he understands that really well. He's got a really good soccer mind. I think he puts a good forward pass. He puts in the work. He puts in the graft. I think he plays with discipline and hard work. Those are things that are always important to me. But he also, like I said, in that kind of transition from when the ball turns over, going from defense into attack, I think he can do a good job keeping possession and even keeping possession in a positive way, looking for a forward pass or getting us out of pressure, making a decision that will keep the ball for us and potentially get us up the field quick. So I'm excited about his addition. I think he can play out wide. It's been a couple years, but when he played for New York, he played in that wide position and he did a really good job out there too. So he brings a little bit of versatility, could allow, even moving another couple guys around into different positions. And kind of regardless of the formation, Glenn, I want that kind of player that is going to be hardworking, that's going to be disciplined, I still think is a good soccer player with a good soccer mind. I mean, those are the kind of players that I want on the team.
Dynamo extend their home shutout streak to 491 minutes. That's a great stat. Obviously, defensively, you guys are great. Attacking-wise, it's a big struggle right now. Strikers have only produced 1 goal in 16 games, Wade. That's an unbelievable stat that has to change. And it's not to say you didn't have your chances in this game, but talk about the marrying of the two now, because you're exceptional defensively right now, not exceptional attacking-wise.
Yeah, you're right. There's no other way to say it. We need to score. So, I look back at the last few home games, and over those home games, there's been, I think there were 17, 18, and then 17 chances on goal for us. It's not that we're not creating those chances. Now, I do think the quality of those chances can improve. Sometimes you talk about, in the stat world, you talk about a big chance. And I don't think we're creating enough big chances. Now, some of those come from through balls. Some of them come from just good play in and around the 18. But really creating something that you have a high likelihood of scoring, rather than just kind of having shots around the box or in a crowded area. So, there's no other answer, Glenn. We just need to do a better job. I do think, like I said, we have created some looks at goal. I think we've been a little bit unlucky, but, you can't just say, we're doing all this and we're getting a little bit unlucky. It's on us. We have to find a way to get the ball in the back of the net. Maybe that's a little bit of luck, but it also is just going to come from work. I'm going to put the guys in situations this week where we're going to be in front of goal a lot. Kind of going through the repetitions, going through some patterns on how to get the ball there. And then once we're there, actually putting it on target. That's one of the big things for me too, is that when we do get these chances, I want to put them on target. I want to have to make the goalkeeper make a save. And we'll continue to work on it. I do feel like we've used this block of time kind of since I took over, and I think we've done a good job kind of locking things down on the defensive end. Now the challenge is to kind of in this next block of time over the next number of weeks to try to, you know, do what we can to create more goals. So it's not an easy answer. You know, if I had an easy answer to it, then we would already have done that. But we'll continue to work at it.
I thought that you guys pretty liberally got into good wide areas. I thought the delivery, though, certainly was missing on a number of occasions, the timing of runs and things like that. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I agree, Glenn. We haven't attacked that way in a while, you know, getting the ball into those areas and serving balls into the box. Now, we had two forwards in there, so it was a good way to kind of go about it this weekend. But I think you see and you saw that we did get the ball into those areas. We did have a lot of opportunities to cross the ball. But, you know, for one reason or another, we were just a little bit off. Either the cross was, you know, a little bit too high, or it was a little bit too far behind, or, you know, we weren't exact in that. And, you know, if we decide to go with that two forward system again, we'll definitely get looks to cross the ball. And when you have two guys in the box attacking it, you know, you got to put it in good spots, and you have to work on the timing of the runs, like you said. So, we'll continue to try to work on those things.
Assess the, you know, the first time this year you go to a 4-4-2, two strikers. I got to think, and I'm not answering for either of them, but I got to think any forward generally likes playing with somebody next to him. So how did you think it worked between Will and Kubo? And, you know, what do you think the future of Kubo is once he gets back from the Olympics?
Yeah, I thought those guys did a good job, Glenn. There were some good combinations. There was something that, you know, we had worked on last week that happened in the game. Now it's only one play, but it still, to me, shows that they're looking to combine. You know, it was kind of the one play that Will dummied that went to Kubo. Will spun his round, and Kubo looked for him. Now the pass got picked off, but the movement was really good. And they had another couple combinations. There was one in the second half where Kubo laid one off with the outside of his foot to Will, got a right-footed shot off. So just you see that those guys were looking to play together. And like I said, when you have two forwards, they can't be independent of one another. They have to play as a tandem. And I like that they look to combine just between the two of them. So, you know, I know that forwards say they like to play with another forward, but really, Glenn, I think forwards just like playing up the field. And when you have that combination, you do have someone that's right next to you, but they'll also enjoy that combination play if we do a better job getting the ball higher up the field and we have players in more advanced positions. It doesn't always have to be another forward. It just has to be another player. So I know it's easy to say, well, we like the 4-4-2 because there's one more forward up there, but I really do think the forwards just like having other people in and around them to play with. So if we can do a better job in a different formation, but pushing guys higher up the field, one of those, you know, if you did a 4-4-1, 4-1, but one or two of those players in the midfield are higher up the field to join, I still think you get good joy and good combinations from that as well.
He's Dynamo manager Wade Barrett joining us here, ESPN 97.5 each and every week. Wade's got the platform here. We talk about the Dynamo. Kubo's gone now. Is it look as though potentially we're going to see Giles Barnes in a higher position? Have you decided that? Morrow doesn't get any minutes in the last game. He's another option. So, you know, I guess there's a lot to be learned from this game. In my opinion, one of Will Bruin's better games. Despite not scoring, I thought one of his better games.
No, I thought he looked sharp. And, you know, Will had looked sharp in training last week leading up to it. So that was a real positive. You know, Morrow, I would love for Morrow to have been into the game. But, you know, we used the one sub in the first half, which took one more attacking option away for me to be able to put on in the second half. That's always just disappointing when you have to make a change like that. It kind of pulls away something else you might be able to do to change the game, you know, as you get to the latter stages. And Giles is an option as well. So I'm not sure, Glenn. A lot of times I know, you know, at this point in the week what we're going to do heading into the weekend. I've got two things in mind, and I haven't really made my mind up yet about which one we're going to go with. We're a little bit short in the roster right now. Most of those are just in the back. But I want to make sure, you know, I want to make sure that I put out the team that has the best chance to succeed. So I'll be sitting with the other guys on the staff. We've been, you know, busy looking at our game from the weekend. We've already broken that down, but we're also watching San Jose just to see, you know, what I think is the best way for us to approach that game.
Now, obviously, I ask you this question almost every week because maybe every time 7 days goes by, there can be some clarity to things going on. And I think this is where the fans come into it. And they're, you know, they're trying to figure out what the future of the Dynamo is and where the club is going and what direction it's going in. So at this moment, not getting results, quite far off the playoffs, and it's not to say that things can't happen. We do understand that in this league. We've seen it. Where in the context of the big picture is this team? Is this now preparing for the future? Is this seriously trying to make a run for the playoffs? What do you prioritize now? And then the other thing I think that fans think about, Wade, is, all right, you know, if player moves are being made, are these being made with the manager, Wade Barrett, going to be the full-time hire in the future, or is somebody else going to come in? Because that's where it gets a little, I think, nebulous to fans, and they get a little confused, because if you've got a heavy input, I think, on players that are being acquired, obviously, because you're the manager.
Right.
But if you bring these players in and then you're not there in the future, it is kind of complicated to the outsider.
Glenn, it's complicated on the inside as well. So I don't have a clear answer to that. Now, Glenn, I want the job. I want to be with this team. I want to see this team into the next phase. And I'm operating as if that is going to be the case. It's the only way that I can move forward because, I am trying to make these moves. I am helping decide, you know, what some of these decisions are on players and how we move forward. And I would love clarity on that as well. But in the short term, without that answer, it's kind of what I told you last week. I'm going to do everything I can to get the most out of the group I have right now. I'm going to try to improve the team right now in this window. And I think, I hope a couple things will happen before the window closes. But again, I won't do anything that's going to hinder the team going into next year because we have to pay attention to that. And we can't put ourselves in a situation where, we're maybe paying more than we should for a player that puts us at a deficit going into next year. We have to make sure that we're spending our money in the right way. You just kind of look around the league at what some other teams have done and how they've spent their money. I think the teams that are doing really, really well have spent their money in the right way and in the right positions, and they're getting results because of it. So I want to make sure that we continue to work towards that as we move into next year.
By the way, I love how you answered that question. That was a great answer. And it's no disrespect to anybody, but it kind of lets the fan understand that, there are some unknowns still. And you're working in a condition in an area where there are some unknowns. And that's the reality of the business.
So it is.
Yeah. It was funny. You made me laugh. So listen, I love the fact that you're going to a dunking booth right now or today because we're taping this prior to the show. Wade's going to a dunking booth where he's going to sit there and people are going to throw balls. Now, what's the irony of that with a manager?
I just hope that none of them are thrown with a whole lot of malice behind them. I can't guarantee that's going to be the case.
Well, I heard the big unit, Randy Johnson, was in the neighborhood.
You know what? I don't think it matters how hard the target gets hit. I think it could get touched by a feather and I get dunked anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I wish I could go. I wish I could have gone and I didn't have the show tonight because I'm sure some people would love to dunk a commentator or two, too. Well, Wade,
it's a nice family event, Glenn. So, I think my 2 5-year-olds are going to be there, and I think they'll have a lot of fun watching this.
I think they're going to be laughing when they see Dad dunked into the water, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, listen, Wade, thank you for your time. We appreciate it, as always. Have a good time tonight at the Dynamo event, and then best of luck against San Jose. We'll be talking to you this week.
Sounds good, Glenn. Talk to you later.
All right. He's Dynamo manager Wade Barrett. Again, the Houston Dynamo in action. This Sunday night, they will take on the San Jose Earthquakes, HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. That's where you get them. This interview each and every week is brought to you by the Houston Dynamo. And Wade Barrett coming on and as out front as always. And I think you're getting real honesty from this manager. It's great, and it's refreshing. It's good. But the Dynamo do have a lot of struggles here. One goal in 16 games from the striker position is not going to cut it, and that's where – but Dynamo are right now. You got to think this is building for the future. I got to think, as much as you want to say playoffs, it's not believable right now. I don't think there's any question. Quick word here for Amigo Energy. Soccer fans, summer's here. That means you have to not only sweat out watching your favorite soccer team, but also your energy bill. Amigo Energy has a solution for that. Sign up for Amigo Energy Basics 24. Get a $50 bill credit exclusively for Soccer Matters listeners. If you're moving, call us first. If you're up for renewal, look for us and switch. Did you know Amigo Energy is a public utility commission 5-star rated provider? Right, you get both great rates and great service from Amigo Energy. Don't delay. www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Tell them you heard it on Soccer Matters and sign up for Basics 24 today or call 888-995-9299, 888-995-9299 for details on the $50 offer, AmigoEnergy.com/Soccer Matters. Our thanks to Everard Santa Marina over there at Amigo Energy. All right, so that does it for tonight. For Tyler Scott, our great producer, we appreciate all his great work. For all you listeners, callers, thank you very much. Again, it's Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc, Facebook, Soccer Matters. Get over to glendavissoccer.com. And, of course, get out and support the Dynamo on Sunday against the San Jose Earthquakes. Until next Tuesday, I'm Glenn Davis. Thank you for tuning in to the Best in Soccer Talk, self-proclaimed.
ESPN 97.5.